Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is playoff edition, John and Wayne. How we doing, man?
We in here, bro. We finished the season, not 13-4, but 12-5, still good. You know what I'm saying? They said F my prediction, and it's cool. Kyle Shanahan really gave me the middle finger. I can tell you that right now. It's all Kyle Shanahan's fault.
He said, no, Wayne Breezy.
He said, no. Like Ronaldo Ray. No. Didn't I tell you stop coming around here hanging with these hoodlums?
I love it, man. Look at this. We got Steven in the chat. He says, I need a picture of Sourdough Sam sniping an eagle out of the sky with the slingshot that's loaded with the golden nugget.
Sniping. I love it.
Dude, let's go. That is, you are the way AI was intended to be used. That is what I'm talking about. What's up? We got Big Red in the house. I said it right. I said it right. Big Red, you are the freaking man. Hashtag CC. Dude, I am the biggest Rocky Balboa fan that exists. Let me just say this,
bro.
Okay. I grew up, best friend growing up, his family, you know, they were Hispanic. They moved over from Mexico. They freaking took me in. They loved me. They were incredible. Some of the nicest family ever. We would go shopping at the Tiger Bazaar. And we bought American boxing gloves and he bought the Mexican flag boxing gloves. And we beat the shit out of each other every single night for like 3 years straight. We just boxed the hell out of each other. Best friends. We bloody noses, you know, black eyes. We just beat the hell out of each other. And we would watch Rocky all the time. I love Rocky so freaking much. Having said that, I am with you, the notorious GAV. F Rocky. F Rocky this week. One, if your city's superhero, whatever, idol is a made-up fictional character, I should tell you something. If you haven't watched the Bill Burr go off on Philadelphia, please take time to Google that and watch that 8-minute rant. It is incredible. But you like Rocky normally, right, Wayne?
I do. I love Rocky. I just literally found out the history of this, the genealogy of the story of Rocky, like how it even became like a story. You know, Sylvester Stallone, he was like, just the history of him, like, and when I that made me love it even more, is what I'm saying. Like, this dude literally bet on himself, because I didn't know he was born with this birth defect, like where his face was kind of stroked, like you could, if you look at it now, you see it now as he's older, but like throughout his history of acting, I didn't know that. That story was literally based off of a dog, like his dog that he had to sell in order to get, you know what I'm saying, make it out here in New York to move to LA, blah, blah, blah. He ended up getting his dog back. His dog was actually in the Rocky. So that dog you see in Rocky is his real dog that he had to buy back. Story was crazy. The trilogy was three or four of them. Three of them, right?
No, they're
then,
like
then you got the Apollos six. And stuff. Yeah. And then you got the Apollos and the Creeds and all that stuff.
Tommy Gunn. Oh yeah, Philly. You remember all those? Yeah, like yeah, I watched them all.
Yeah, that was the big white dude with the big muscles, like looking like Sid Vicious. I remember, man. But Rocky, the first one, and Rocky, I thought Rocky II was better than Rocky I. But
Rocky IV was my favorite.
Is that the Dolph Lundgren one?
Yeah.
I was in. That's with the Niners. All right, let's have a question. Let's do
I'll
this.
I'll crush you.
I will crush. You will lose. You will lose. Who on the 49ers is Dolph Lundgren?
I think it's got to be George Kittle. It looks a little bit like him, built like him.
Yeah, but he don't play defense. Like, who can George Kittle play defense? I would rather see George Kittle on defense.
I'd let him play safety. I'd let him play linebacker. I'd let him play
I think he'd be the best tackler on defense other than Demo.
Oh, man. I like that. So F Rocky this week. What's up, Shane? Chap and Breezy, man. Hopefully we get have a good time soon. Niners win this game. I'm going to that one. We're going to be hosting events, taking Philly off. We're going to do nine trips this year.
It'll be in Chicago, probably. right?
Chicago, Seattle.
Oh, Seattle. Yeah, Seattle's a good city.
Seattle's maybe, a good city. Maybe Carolina. That would be ideal. That probably would be not perfect. Happen, but that would be
well,
ideal.
You don't want to travel to the East Coast, right?
I'll go to Carolina. I'll be there in a heartbeat.
Yeah, Carolina's good.
I like Carolina. We were at Carolina together, weren't we?
No, I never made it
you
to Carolina.
You didn't make it to that one.
I did the Atlanta one.
Yeah.
Which will be at next year.
Oh, yeah. 100%. 100%. Love all the hashtag CCs. If you don't think the Niners are going to win this week, take your faith-filled gear off. Now, let's talk about this.
Thank you, Shane.
Because.
Thank you, Shane. I can't take the faithful. What the hell? Like, don't even call yourself a faithful. Like, you don't go into this game saying you're going to lose. You go into this game saying you're going to win. It don't matter what the cards are stacked against you. I guarantee you the Niners, I'm betting that Juwan Jennings getting 3 touchdowns in this game.
Ooh.
Now what? I got a good feeling about this game. And another thing about Rocky, stay the F away from Rocky statue, faithful. Don't be pissing on the statue and throwing stuff. Just leave the statue alone. That's strictly business here. No, nothing. Get to the Lincoln Field. Get in the stadium, get in your seat, and get ready to cheer this team on. Now, I really feel like the Niners are going to do something. They're going to shock the world. They've been shocking the world all season.
The 49ers haven't been one and done in the playoffs since 2001. Is that right?
Yeah. They haven't lost back-to-back games all season either. I just want to put that out there.
Ooh, I like that. There's just so much, like, you get in. You get into the game, you get into the playoffs, you're in the dance, March Madness time, NFL style. You got to beat one team. You got to beat one team. And the Eagles are far from perfect. And kind of my title of the show is 49ers versus Eagles run game. Like I went through and I was like, okay, what is in common with the Eagles, you know, losses this year? They've lost 6 games.
That's it. The
6 games that they have lost, they've averaged 80 rush yards per game. Listen to this. Denver, 45 rush yards. Giants, 73. Cowboys, 63. Bears, 87. The one anomaly, the Chargers, they rushed for 134 in a loss. And then the Commanders, 80 yards. Now, the 11 wins for the Eagles, they average 136.9 yards
per
rush.
Gotta stop the run, bro. It's end of discussion.
So... How, Wayne? How do the 49ers stop the run?
All right, so here's the thing, right? So the Eagles are going to run the ball probably one or two ways, right? Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts. So, like, my thing is, and they got a run game, too, because their backup running back can get you some yards. They got a couple of running backs in their stable, right? But the Niners have to stop the run. It's what he has to sell out for. I'd rather get beat on an explosive play down the football field to a Jahan Dotson or whatever. The pass rush is going to be obsolete. I wouldn't even focus on a pass rush as far as sacking in the quarterback. I think this game, you just have to sell out and stop the run. Because if you nip that in the bud, it's a Jalen Hurts throw fest, and you're going to force him to make all these types of throws, whether he's on the move, whether he's in the pocket. I'd rather live and die by that. That was the same way we should have played Sam Darnold, but we couldn't stop the explosive runs. It's these explosive runs. If you can limit, I'm okay if Saquon Barkley averages 3.3 yards a carry in this game. Limit, take away those explosive runs. You got to wrap and tackle. It's all fundamentals, though, because the Niners can get up there, plug the middle, stop the run. He breaks a tackle, breaks 3 tackles. Next thing you know, a 1-yard gain turns into a 9-yard gain or a 25-yard gain. And the Niners on the edge, John, the containment is terrible. So you let Saquon get outside, but the Niners got to figure out how to stop the run, bro. We say it every week, and some weeks it's better than none. They're supposed to get Lane Johnson back this week. That's bonus to their offensive line. And so they're going to come out and look to bully this 49ers young defensive front. But somehow the Niners got to stop the run. Eric Kendricks, good against the run. Stop the run. The linebackers got to shoot their gaps. Play inside that A-gap. Hit it, bit it, bam. Stop it. Like, you got to stop the run. You got to wrap and tackle. Fundamentals is key.
And you go back to the Colts game. Like, you look at what they did to Jonathan Taylor. 58 total rush yards as a team allowed. Like, this team can do it, and everybody was hurt then too. Now maybe you're more hurt now, but you know, we'll see who plays and who doesn't play.
Well, there's no Tatum Bethune, so
that's the difference. But I think Eric Kendricks might be a positive.
I think he's a step up. I think he's an upgrade. But what you got from Bethune against the run, in my opinion, was great. I thought he was good against the run, until outside stuff started happening. But him hitting the gaps, hitting the hole, he was getting tackles for a loss. Even in this game, he had 5 missed tackles, but the dude had a tackle for a loss, had a sack. Like, this dude, unfortunately, can't stay healthy either. It's just the weirdest shit I've ever seen in my entire life.
it's a lot. But if you could stop the run, which is a big if, then I think the 49ers, I think then you've got a slug out, right? And it's powerful offense versus powerful offense. Mm-hmm. And you kind of see what that is. But you go back to Saquon Barkley, who's had a good year. He's got 1,100 rush yards, but nothing like what he did last year.
There's no explosiveness in his runs anymore.
And he's averaging 4 yards per carry on the year.
Right. But I'm talking about as far as the explosive runs. You're not seeing those big gains, those wild runs, him jumping over people, like getting 30 yards, 20 yards, 50 yards. Those have been diminished a lot, but what you're getting more from is volume, right? So he's getting the ball. He's going to continue to run. And the one thing I like about the Eagles is they don't stop running the ball. You know, you got to force them to just pass this ball. Take away the run. Take away the run early. Figure it out. Players got to figure it out.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting.
J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
And you go back to 2023 when the 49ers destroyed, I would argue, maybe the 49ers' best game in like the past 5 years of just dominating an opponent. They beat the Eagles, and then Nick Bosa gets up after the game and says, "We gave the NFL the blueprint on how to beat this team." And then they just fell off a cliff. And the whole idea was make Jalen Hurts beat you from the pocket with his arm.
That's it. That's the key.
That's it. But you got to make him one-dimensional before you can do that.
It's not easy, because remember I said you got to watch out for Jalen Hurts too. So here's where the Niners struggle. They struggle in breakdown lanes, like assignments. It's like, bruh, it's Jalen Hurts. If you're down the field, somebody's got to spy, keep that mid contained or something, because Hurts will see the lanes break down. He's not a stupid quarterback. He's a cerebral quarterback. He's a Super Bowl champion quarterback. He can run. He will run. And now you on a 3rd and 10, or 3rd and 11, your quarterback's getting you 12, 13 yards for a first down. So it's discipline. It's not just stop the run. It's fundamentally stopping the run, being disciplined. It's so much that goes into this defense. And unfortunately, what makes it harder for the Niners, John, is that they're just inexperienced. I think that's the most fair thing we can say for our assessments. They're just inexperienced.
And like even the guys that are like rookies, like you talk about CJ West, you talk about Upton Stout, you talk about Alfred Collins, but man, they played all year and they're constantly trending positive. Like they're getting better.
But consistency will be key, right? Mm-hmm. It's harder for them to be consistent because they're not your starters yet. You're bringing them in rotating. They come in, make a good play, and then they come off the football field, and then they come back in. So the consistency is hard for those guys, but they're an upside. They weren't your plan this year. They are the plan now. You lost everybody. So I love it. It's just got to stop the run. Be disciplined. Don't over-pursue your gaps. Got to stop the run. You can brush the passer, but watch out for the screens. Watch out for the checkdowns. I mean, a lot of teams know how to beat the 49ers defense because we play undisciplined. I think the inexperience is what I mean. Like, it's just a lot of young kids playing football defensively. And sometimes they step up and they make the plays, but it's inconsistent.
I like this comment from Dale. Like, you know, I'm going through all the passing charts and watching, you know, tape on the Eagles. And look, Jalen Hurts is weird. Like he does some things very, very well. He throws the ball super, super short or super, 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 super long, and yep. he's horrible over the middle. Mm-hmm. And so right here, Dale says, force Hurts to throw over the middle. He don't like doing that. He doesn't. Like he's the opposite of a Shanahan quarterback. Like whether it's Jimmy G or Nick Mullins or whomever, that middle intermediate zone in the field is always red hot for 49ers quarterbacks. Nobody's better than Brock Purdy at that. But like Jalen Hurts is the opposite. That dude can throw the fade outside the numbers.
Good throw.
And he can throw quick slant routes. Like
good. Yeah.
But that's it.
That, listen, if they run the ball though, guess where he's throwing the ball? Over the middle of the field. Like we got to eliminate, like you said, the run. That will force him to be a quarterback. Make this team beat you with him playing quarterback. Conventional quarterback, because he's gonna run. So you gotta be disciplined in those lanes.
Yeah, I like that. We've got, and if you force Jalen Hurts to beat you, and he's good enough to, I mean, he's a Super Bowl.
Oh no, for sure.
But like, for sure. That should be the game plan.
That's got to be the game plan. Like you know, previews of the game plan. That's got to be it. It's got to be it because they're going to come out. They're going to try to attack the Niners in their run game. They know that the run defense is suspect. It's different every single week. The Niners are giving up over 100-plus yards a game, probably, at this point. And they know what to do. And they will look to take advantage of it. It almost sucks that we got to play Saquon Barkley. But I will say this. If the Niners' game plan is similar to what they did against the Colts, when they stopped the number one running back in the league, I'm confident that they can stop the number three or four running, five running back in the league.
They can do it. Don't bother me, says JC. Can you let us know how Eric Kendrick's stats were against Philly last year? In the two games against Philly last year, again, he was with the Cowboys. He was their Mike linebacker. He had 17 tackles and one tackle for loss against Philly in those two games. Played very, very well.
Got to stop the run. What I'm intrigued is how they're going to also try to use, abuse the 49ers in the passing game with their tight ends. You know, they'll run two tight end sets. That's what makes their run game successful, too. You'll get Calcaterra, I think, and, what's the other dude? You'll get both of them on the football field, and they'll help that run game out. Niners struggle with these tight ends. Safety struggle with tight ends. Linebackers struggle with tight ends. And so those are the guys that might end up being those. We talked about going across the middle of the football field opposed to like where George Kittle runs the routes in the middle field. These guys will run drag routes all daggone day getting first downs because we can't cover tight ends. It's a game where the Niners defense just has to really bend and not break. Like, what they've been doing all season. They might get gashed early, but I believe they make the adjustments. I think the key to this game is what the hell the Niners going to do offensively against their defense, right? Because now you're talking about another freaking pressure-based defense, and they get pressure interior. They got Jalen Phillips. They can get pressure, and then they got a good secondary, right? So they can rush four. They got the coverage in the backfield. So I think for the Niners, they got it on the exact flip mode side. They got to run the ball, right? They have to find a way to move this ball. Christian McCaffrey needs to be able to average 4 or 5 yards a carry, like get explosive runs. They need to run two tight end sets, whatever it takes to get this outside zone, inside, you know, gap penetrating style of run. They got to do it. They just have to do it. And they're going to have to do it against a tough front. What is it? Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, the big interior guys. You got to do
Ajomo,
it.
Ajomo, man. I think Ajomo's been probably their best tackle.
They got to do it, John. They just have to do it.
And I like this comment from Lyle. It goes with what you're saying. Thank you for the super chat. The problem I have with Kyle is he struggles against top-tier defenses and losses. All the losses this season were against top-tier defense. I think that's everybody in the NFL. You can lump Kyle into that. Kyle hasn't had a lot of success against Vic Fangio. But he hasn't had Brock Purdy against Vic Fangio. So that's a new matchup here. Vic Fangio was not the DC back in 2023 where they destroyed them. It's a little bit different now. Now they have better pieces and whatever else. But, like, you can't have – like, the 49ers can win this game. I know that, like, as you go through this, it's always like, okay, they have the advantage here, they have the advantage here, they have the advantage here. They're playing at home. They won their division. It's what it is. But, man, this is also a team that got blown out by the Giants, lost to the Cowboys, lost to the Commanders. Like, they've lost to a lot of bad teams. And the 49ers are not a bad team. They just have to play up. Kyle Shanahan did not have a good game called last week. Brock Purdy did not play. He played okay. Christian McCaffrey had his worst game of the year.
I didn't think. I thought Brock Purdy played bad, too.
He was late on a lot of throws early and then just never got into the rhythm.
So that's what I'm saying. But Brock is rhythm. Brock is if when Brock is in rhythm, the offense flows. I don't know what it takes. So Brock in this game is going to have to make sure he stays in rhythm. It's not just run the ball. It's quick throws. It's the right reads. It's checking the ball down. I mean, how many times you watch Brock just miss the wide open check down?
Or high so that there's no yards after catch because the CMC's got to jump up and jump catch to get it.
Yeah, like those – and that could be because of pressure or whatever, whatnot. You can blame the offensive line. Okay, fine, whatever. At the end of the day, I need Brock. There was times where he could have just stepped up in the pocket. How many times did he step to the side and ran into a sack opposed to stepping up in the pocket to evade the pressure?
You'll like, be able to step up this week against these DTs. I don't know.
He's going to have to, bro. He's going to have to get skinny. Like, just find a way, find that slither, and I'd rather him lose 1 yard than lose 7. Or possibly he'll be able to gain some yards if he can get past those guys, because those guys are going to come in rushing. So I'm not saying he was terrible in the game. I just didn't think he had a good game either. But that all comes down to the play calling. I thought the play calling was the worst. Vanilla based play calling. I mean, you got two trick plays on a four on a one. What? Why? Just quarterback sneak it. Like, you just need a yard. It didn't make any sense. It wasn't even a long yard. It's just a yard.
He was going for that home run on that 4th and 1, man. He wanted it.
Why? Why?
Everybody was open, just the line.
The damn block. My point is, but why? So, like, live to the next play, right? If you get the first down, you could potentially try to run the ball on their next down. Maybe you'll get 8 or 9 yards. Then you take the big chunk play down the football field. It was just weird that Kyle called a terrible game. You could say that, you know, their coach, McDonald, was superior. Fine, whatever. I care less. I just didn't think Kyle called a good game. I didn't think he was even trying, is what I'm trying to say. Like, it didn't even seem like he'd have cared. It was like, yo, let's get out of this game unscathed, unhurt, uninjured. And then you still got injuries.
Everybody gets there. It's a full contact game. Injuries, the 49ers most injured team in the NFL. Now, we've got some questions on Kittle and Jake Tonjes. So we're going to get to those questions right after this. Everybody's betting the NFL in full do or die mode. College football down to the last teams. And the Super Bowl is just right around the corner. If there was ever a time to get involved in the game, it's now. And MyBookie makes it stupid easy to play. One account, one wallet, bet the spread, live bet the second half, hit the casino during the commercials. It's all in one place, and you've got the power. Go to MyBookie.ag now and use promo code 49ers, 49ERS, and you get your first bet covered up to $500. If it doesn't hit, use your bet back bonus token, run it back. Don't just watch the playoffs. Make them pay. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. And I mean anywhere, Texas, California, no matter where you are, only at MyBookie. All right, Dale's got a super chat. He's got a couple. We're going to get to both of them. And appreciate you, man. He says, I'm actually more worried about the offense this game. The plan can't suck like it did against Seattle, and the offensive line has to give Purdy a little bit more time. My biggest critique was not getting George Kittle a target until the third possession. Now, you go three and out. So that's, you know, no targets in 6 plays. That happens. But, like, Kittle has to be a priority for me. And so shout out to Big Red here. He says, got to get Kittle going. I don't like Kittle, you know, helping Pleasant on the left side. Let him chip. But, man.
It's tough, though. Like, come on, guys. Like, we can say that, but it's tough when you don't have Trent Williams out there. You get Trent out there, Kittle gets going early, right? So we know that, but it's tough. And I get with you. I agree with everybody, but it's not as simple, because that left side was the worst left side combination I've ever seen in my entire life. Austin Pleasance was ass trash, and Spencer Burford was trash. So, like, at the end of the day, like, you got two ass pieces of trash out there on the left side that couldn't do nothing, and Kittle, as great as he is, couldn't even help. It was that bad of offensive line play, in my opinion. I know Dominic Pooney had a great game. Colt McKivitz was decent. Even Jake Brindle's decent. But my point is, like, when that left side is handicapped like that, let's just pray Trent plays. There'll be your Kittle. Right?
Trent makes everybody better all around him.
My issue was, where was Kendrick Bourne? And why didn't you utilize him over the middle of the football field? This dude finds plenty of holes in zone coverage, and they play tons of zone. They played where they were just giving up the underneath stuff, and we weren't even taking it. I didn't understand. We were trying to push the ball down the field, and everybody's covering down the field. So why was he
one of those first third downs? KB was wide open, a 14-yard gain, and Brock, he was the first read too, but Brock went off of him before the break. And I mean, if Brock would have just kept his eyes on that first, you know, it's just that deep.
I know you don't want to lock in on the first read, right? Brock's trying to get through the progression.
Got to give him time to get out of his break.
Break.
It was a bad read. It was a bad read. Like, if he would have just stayed with it, it was wide open. But he moved off before the cut, and it was just like, and that's how close the offense is to working.
Right.
It is a timing, tempo, anticipatory read progression system.
And that's why when we say Kyle game plan sucked, it did and it didn't, right? Like, it did suck. We saw a lot of bad calls to me. I saw a lot of weird-ass play calls. I also saw a lot of bad execution. So it's like they go hand in hand. Like, that play John's talking about would have worked had the quarterback made the right read. So it's the weirdest thing. It's the weirdest thing. Just like if we would have got Kittle more involved early, we probably would have been more successful. We were 2 for 9. That is my key to victory. You cannot be 2 for anything unless it's 2 for 3 on third down. Like, you can't be 2 for anything. Like,
and then 0 for 2 on fourth down on top
and then,
of that.
And then that's the candy right there, right? Because you did dumbass play calls on fourth down. There's your bad play calls. Yeah, it was just a weird game.
What about this? Because Jake Tongis logged, do you know how many snaps Jake
Zero.
Tongis had? Zero.
No.
All world game.
No. No. That can't happen. That doesn't even make sense unless he pulled a nut cap or something. Like, he must have been injured and we just didn't know about it.
He was out there on special teams though.
Then no.
What? How many did he get out there on special teams?
No, he did.
Had 11.
That ain't even enough. Well, we didn't play a lot of special teams. My point is that can't happen, bro. He is a threat.
But he ain't going to use them. Do you think he's going to get snaps this game? Because I don't.
Maybe he wasn't utilized on purpose. I'm going with the
not Kyle's a good got, one. Kyle's, not a good Kyle, purpose.
God, Kyle's got a plan. I feel like he's got a plan. He didn't want people to see them two tight ends on the football field. You know who was trash? Ooh. Luke Farrell.
He didn't. He only played 8 snaps.
I don't care. He missed every block. I wasn't a good game. He was all world the week before. I tried to tell people Seattle defense is a little bit different than that Bears defense, though.
Yeah, that Bears defense is trash. I'm with Bobo on this one. Kyle should have used Brian Robinson more instead of just runs of CMC. You only had 12 carries total, but the two best runs were both Brian Robinson runs.
I thought the two best runs were Brock Purdy runs, but
there you go.
That's why I needed Purdy to run more. That somebody in the chat earlier said the 49ers, Dolph Lundgren is Brock Purdy. And I like that because Brock is going to have to make plays. You know the difference between, to me, Brock and Jalen Hurts? Jalen Hurts will put the team on his back. If his team sucks, he's going to find a way to make a play. Like, you know what I'm saying? I need Brock to give me Detroit Lion Brock. That's the Brock I need.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. Look at this. I like this from Mill Ticket. This is something, you know, I just pulled up. When is Kittle going to have a big game in the playoffs? You look at what he's done. He's only got 2 career touchdowns and 12 playoff games, so not a lot of touchdowns. But I will say this. He's only had 1 game or 2 games with 7 catches, 1 game with 6 catches. Not great. Never had a 100-yard playoff game. he hasn't had those all-world best tight end ever performances. And, you know, I'm really big on Kittle's the best tight end in the NFL. Trey McBride is definitely getting into that consideration with what he did this year. But, like, the best two-way tight end in the NFL is Kittle. A lot of people say Kelce, and he's a receiving guy, but you look at what Kelce did in the playoffs, that dude is like the most clutch playoff performer at tight end ever.
Hands down. But that's because they go
can't
to him.
Can't say though. That for. Yeah.
But they don't target Kittle that way. Kittle's not treated as that guy.
He is not.
And that to me is the difference. I mean, if Kittle was treated like a Tony Gonzalez, like a Travis Kelce, Kittle would surpass every tight end in the history of tight, like other than Gronk.
I was wrong. I was reading targets, not catches. I'm sorry. And I think that's the problem. Like you're saying, like they don't target him.
They don't target him. That's the issue.
Five catches is the most he's ever had in a playoff game.
The question is why. But yeah. The Niners, look, okay. Part of it is the issue with Kyle in matchups, right? So he's looking to exploit a matchup. If I asked you who would have more targets in this game, McCaffrey or Kittle, who would you say?
McCaffrey.
I don't think
that's what it should be.
No, but it's just the way of the world, right? Because who's going to be the checkdown? So that's considered a target, believe it or not. So you have to take all I'm asking Brock to do is just take what the defense is giving. You don't have to force the ball. Don't push it down the field. Look at the defense. Like, Brock, look at what they're doing. You're a pretty smart guy. Your processing is quick. Let's not act like Brock hasn't been good against pressure defenses before in his career. At one point, he was killing pressure. Now, all of a sudden, it's a little different because it looks different. So, for Brock, he just has to really be the most cerebral person on the football field. He has been that. Hands down. My point is, he has to continue being that. Like, he's going to – whatever mistakes – here's the thing I love about Brock. I watched Brock Purdy throw a pick six and then get five touchdowns in the same game. So, literally six touchdowns for Brock Purdy. And I know it wasn't a playoff game, but we watched Brock play really good in the playoffs.
6-1 touchdown interception ratio in his career playoffs.
So I'm just on the field. As long as we got Brock, we good. The question is, the defense is going to try to neutralize Brock Purdy and his things. And what does Brock do to counter that? That's the question.
You got to go out there and perform. Look at this from Dale. Maybe Kyle's playing chess, not checkers. We're going to see that 12 personnel in other world plays against the Eagles. Trust in the plan, then get drunk. I buy into this.
Cheers. I have a funny feeling this is all by stupid Kyle design. I really think they're going to slap the stuff out of the Eagles. I know it don't look like it, and I know we keep getting injured by the minute.
By the minute, bro.
I can't wait to hear today's injury report. It'll be somebody we never – Garrett Wallow will have an injury today. I'm sorry. I just feel like the linebackers are just depleted.
Yeah.
I apologize, guys.
All five of your linebackers on your initial 53-man roster are injured or on IR. All five of them. All of them. You just got practice squad and guys you picked up off the street. That's all you got.
So it's going to be Eric Kendricks, Curtis Robinson, Garrett Wallow, maybe some Luke Gifford, hopefully D. Winters type of day.
I don't want D. Winters back.
I don't want him back.
Trash.
He's got to go.
I don't want him back.
No. He's got to go. Like, he's coming back, right? You got one more year?
Yeah, I think he's got two more years, doesn't he?
Damn.
D. Winters? He might have just one. Yeah, 2023, 24, 25. He's got 1 year left. And I don't mind him as a backup. I don't want him as a starter. And I think Nick Martin will get some run, you know, to go in and see if he can take that Will spot, because Nick Martin was drafted to be a Will backer.
Yes, sir. Like, he's built.
D. Winters is not a solid guy.
He's built to be a Will backer. But do you feel like we use D. Winters wrong, in my opinion? Just going back to his TCU days, right? He was used at the line of scrimmage a lot. He blitzed a lot. He stayed in the back. I just going off of the when he beat Michigan ass. Cause that
we were
was
together on that one in Vegas. I remember Wayne screaming. We're in the casino hosting a party. The Michigan's getting whooped up on by TCU, and you just hear like every 5 minutes, no, damn it, no. Like, oh, and I felt so bad for him.
We drafted all eight players, bro.
All of them.
Everybody from that game we drafted. Only one left is D. Winters. I would say that draft was terrible. That I just don't think those players are good. They're good in fits, and I don't know if he fits. That's not a Robert Saleh guy, to be fair. He's just trying to get the best out. Neither is Jair Brown.
This is my problem with D. Winters. Whenever you're not a smart football player and you can't read keys and understand what you're supposed to do, that's where it gets bad. Like, linebacker is the one position where athleticism's good.
The brain of
it's up
the
here.
Defense, man.
And he has not demonstrated that, sadly. Now, you had that awesome pick six against Rivers, and it was like, that's awesome. But then you just watch him against a simple running back to the flats flare route where that's his primary key, and he'll look at it, and his feet just are stuck. Like, it just doesn't translate yet. It's just – that's my biggest problem with the defense, is that you have guys out there that were projected starters that do not have the IQ – or the mentality to play with this defense. And that's Jair Brown and D. Winters, who have been my biggest issues all season long, because I don't think that they fit what the 49ers are supposed to do defensively.
They don't fit what Robert Saleh wants them to do defensively. And he's trying, right? He's trying to get these guys to fit. I don't know. I don't know why you just don't play a football guy like Marquise Eagle. I don't care if he get burnt. He's still here. I'd rather have a guy give up a touchdown, but be there on the touchdown, opposed to a guy trailing and giving up the touchdown. This is where I am. And I don't care about these players anymore. If you suck, you suck. Watch the show. You got to be better.
Got to be better. And, and I have this in my notes. Like, you know, again, stopping the run game. The safeties can't be as bad. Literally, you cannot be as bad as the 49ers safeties have played the last 2 weeks. You can't be as bad. There's no literal way possible that Malik Mustafa and Jair Brown can be as bad as they have been the past 2 weeks. There's no way. Logically, you can't be worse. So the safeties have been kind of the barometer for how this defense looks. And you go back to those, you know, the terrible part of the schedule where you held, you know, the Panthers and the Browns to under, you know, single digit points. Those are the only times the safeties played well. Terrible offenses, I understand. But, like, if the safeties just play adequate, not even good, just adequate.
I just need them to play that. Like, just make the right play. Make the right read. You can't be just figuring out where you got to go once the ball is hiked. You got to know. You got to know.
And, man, you'll see a play, and 2-7 just sits there. And, like, the ball's already been given. Like, he's the alley player, and he just watches, 3-second delay, then goes, and then runs to the side so he doesn't get contact. Like, I can't do low player IQ, and I can't do lack of physicality. Now, some plays,
they got the physicality
go
is
up
there.
And it's there, but other plays, you'll see him. I mean, he looking like Jake Brendel staying away from contact at times. You know what I mean? Like,
okay. I
don't. But some plays not there. Some plays he's all in.
Question their physicality, bro. Like, that's tough. But if you say they shy away from contact, that's cool. I don't necessarily see that. I don't think I see that. Maybe you see that. Like, I can't wait for you to point it out to me. But I just think they soft as fuck. Like, they're just soft players.
Alex's not soft. He just takes the worst angles.
Oh, no. He just don't. He don't understand football. Like,
he's like a rhinoceros. Yeah, he just can't turn.
And he tucked the head, right? And once you tuck the head, it's a wrap because you're going to be off balance and you're going full speed one way. You're going to miss a lot of tackles. I mean, 18 missed tackles last week, bro. I think that was the most all year. 18 missed tackles. And the one game you needed to win. And again, they only gave up 13 points, believe it or not. I don't think the defense gives up a lot of points. They're just going to give up explosive plays. They need to not give up explosive plays and not give up a lot of points in this game.
Why not? It can happen. Now, I've got a couple what ifs. okay. that we're going to do to be a little bit of therapy right after this. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, Tick Pick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. Tick Pick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the Tick Pick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the Tick Pick app or tickpick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. All right, shout out to Dale. He says, we could have had Cooper DeJean. Yeah, we were big Cooper guys, but the injury was kind of weird, and the 49ers have changed their entire thing since drafting Kinlaw. We ain't taking anybody with injury concerns at the draft position now, which is ironic because Cooper's been healthy since he had that foot issue, what made him fall.
Yeah, listen, change that philosophy, bro. Like, this, you can't go into it. Till you draft players and then they get injured. Is it like at the end of the day, it's
Jacob
football.
Jacob Cowing never missed a game in five seasons.
Neither did Ricky Pearsall.
Never missed a game in five seasons.
They come to the Niners, they miss 18,465 games in two seasons. It doesn't even make sense. I just don't. If it's an ACL injury, okay, cool. Maybe you wait. You know. How many people we passed up on could have had Josh Simmons this year, right? I know he's injured now, but he wasn't injured all season.
And I think people like, and so I think 49ers fans, and I think you, I'm guilty of this because we so focus on 49ers. Every time an injury, it just like piles and it's like, we're the only ones injured.
No, we're not.
We're not. Other teams have lots of injuries too, but we are the most.
Okay, there you go. Like, this is
all the time.
That's another thing. That's the issue. We're the most all the time. We don't give a fuck about the other team's injuries. Our team is injured every year in a different way. Last year, it was tons of injuries. This year, it's tons of injuries for the whole season. Now we injured. We're plaguing groups. You mean how many linebackers is injured on this team?
Six.
God dang.
We only started with five.
On the 1 year. The 1 year. Jed motherfucking York want to be cheap. The one year he chose to save the bank bread, everybody injured. The moment Nick Bosa went out, I'd have been like, yo, Lynch, man, what you need, dog? I got the checkbook, man. It's a blank check here, man. Go ahead and get what you need. You have to. Yeah,
I know,
but that's what you needed to do, Jed York. Listen, if we lose to the Eagles, I guarantee you I'm burning Jed York the fuck down. I'm burning him.
I'm all for that.
Down. And if you want to be on this show, you are welcomed. He's getting burnt to a crisp.
I don't want him on my show. He'll be on Wayne's show. I don't want him on my show.
Listen, I'm burning him down. I'm telling you right now, I'm burning him down. Why? Because, man, I understand you got to reset. You got to do this. There's never a right time to do it. But when your window is still available and open, man, you got to take advantage of that stuff, man. And I'm not saying you had to sign all these high-priced free agents. Like I said, the plan in the beginning was fine. But the moment you lost your premier pass rusher. I mean, let's talk about Nick Bosa for 1 second. He's not just a premier pass rusher. He's a premier all-pro defensive player for a reason. Why?
Completely well-rounded, one of the best three-down defensive ends. Might be better against the run than pass rush, which is crazy.
Everything you just said, the moment you lost that, you knew you were going to take a big hit. You tried to supplement. You tried to say we could do it with rotation. 20 sacks on the year, John, as a team?
One of the lowest ever.
Wow. And then you lost Fred Warner. Ain't no way in the world you thought anybody on this team was going to replace that IQ. No way. Ain't no way. And there were several players. You could have went and got better instinct football guys. But you went cheap.
Yeah. I mean, to have the philosophy of we're just going to put Sam O in Bosa's role, which Sam O has done everything Sam that O. Sam O can do. But, like, that's just not fair. It's not fair.
Yeah. I love it. Sam O. I love that he's taking the – he also missed a couple of games due to injury. But I love that he's taking the role and the responsibility. But come on, man. That's like going from, you know, Goodyear premium tires to, like – the Walmart brand. You know what I'm saying? They're going to work, but they don't last as long.
I love it, man. That's all. Here's my thing that I constantly go back to. What if you just would have kept freaking Talanoa Hufanga?
That would have been difference maker right there. Yes, and don't get it twisted. He gets burnt, too. But his football instincts.
But he makes plays nonstop. That
right there is the difference.
And he's got some negative tape, but he's all pro safety, man. And he's look what he's doing for Denver. Like, the dude's playing just like everybody has said he's going to play, and he is going to play, and he stayed healthy. And, like,
John, we could have just brought back Greenlaw and freaking.
Just let the dude be a captain. You should have made him a fucking captain.
That's the John I like.
Captain.
This is the John I need every Tuesday and Friday. I want more curse words on my show, or you're not coming back next season. I want a whole show of exploitives.
I'm gonna get fired too, man.
Listen, no, because you're right. This is what I'm, bro. You had the formula. Hey, listen, Robert Saleh. First of all, you brought Robert Saleh back. To God be the glory. Robert Saleh should have said, "Look, motherfucker, I'm not coming back unless you make sure Greenlaw's here." Hands down. You don't break up the tandem because you want to be cheap on the checkbook.
He just wanted to be valued. You even had his dad saying, like, dude, he just wanted to be a part. Like, and the Niners took him for granted and all that stuff.
So let me ask you this question. Never mind. Don't want to have this conversation. Not with you. Nope, not today. Sorry. Uh-oh. I just feel that's like okay. The Niners do players a little dirty, and we don't talk about it because all we see are the player side of everything. And then we bash the player. But I think the Niners do players a little different.
They limp into negotiations and hurt some feelings. They are really notorious for
that. Not talking about Brandon Ayuk. Not talking about it.
That was, I don't care. Talking you about get paid that much? Bitch, not, shut up. Listen, like, you were,
I'm not talking about Ayuk. I'm just saying that I think the Niners, but they also tried to trade this motherfucker. Injured. Like, bruh. He wanted to feel part of the team. It's no different than Greenlaw or anybody that feel like they're part of something. Yo, I'm going to tell you something. The hardest thing to do is thinking you're a part of something and they make you feel like you're not. That shit hurt, man.
Yeah.
People got feelings, and I don't think people pay attention to people's feelings. We don't give a fuck because you make too much money. You make $30 million a year. You don't got no feelings. Go buy some feelings for $30 million. I get it, but that ain't how real world work. Everybody got feelings. If you found out I was talking about you behind your back, and you felt and then you would feel some fucking type of way. I know I would. I got feelings.
Oh, I'm emotional. I love it. I love it though. But like that's why we love you, is because you're so passionate and you're always authentic and everything is on your sleeve. And like that's just you're the fucking best. But I'm gonna push back.
Absolutely.
At some point, this is a professional whatever.
It is. That's the difference. That is different.
You got to fight for your guys. And, yeah, you talk about trading everybody, and John Lynch and Kyle have been very adamant, and they have said, dude, if somebody calls about Kyle or John, we'll take those calls.
I agree.
And so whenever they're that consistent top to bottom, that definitely screws some players over. That's part of the deal. But I don't know.
I don't even think Lynch – And Kyle wanted to move on from some of these players. I think they had no choice. I think the money, the financial situation from the top, the owner. Let me just talk about the owner. I know you don't like me talk about. Sorry, Jay York. You could get these hands too. Look,
dude,
I think Jay York effed up this season by doing that, and I think that's hurting the Niners. And then we get mad at Kyle because he called a bad game plan, and his first round pick can't get on the football field. Like, bruh. Like, we had options that we just chose not to bring back, like, for whatever reason. Well, we know the reason. But I'm just hoping that them resetting whatever they needed to reset for next season. I know we're going into next year with, like, $50 million of cap space, and we got tons, like, $80 billion in dead cap, so it don't really matter. I know. But my point is, you can't always be cheap, man. You it's football.
The decision was made at the trade deadline.
Correct.
We're just going to run with what we got and see what we can do. Like,
correct.
It lowered the ceiling. Now, that doesn't mean you can't go out there and do some stuff. And you can't go out there and get on a streak. The first part of this episode, the Niners can win this game with what they have in-house.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah, no. I'm not saying the Niners are going to lose.
They made it harder than it had to be.
They made it harder. Correct. Not the team, but the way that the stipulations were at the beginning of the year. And we couldn't even make the moves we needed to make. Bro, we brought in, we made trades, which I'm cool with. I love the Keon White. I love the Brian Robinson Jr. I love the acquisitions, but they weren't going to move a needle because the issues that we really needed, we lost Fred Warner and you lost Nick Bosa. I'm talking about just from those checkpoints. Like, I'm cool with the beginning of the season. I'm cool if they didn't bring back them guys. I'm cool with it. Let those guys go make their money and play and be the man somewhere else. I'm fine with that. That's part of the game. When you lost all pros, you had to know you had to replace it with somebody that's at least a Pro Bowl talent, right?
They did not.
And how is Justin Simmons not on a football team? I'm trying to figure out how Justin Simmons didn't somehow at least make it to the last 2 weeks of the 49ers roster. Jair Brown is bad. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing. We don't have a coverage safety because we draft safeties. Don't draft a safety. Draft a guy that can play coverage, ball hawk. Like, get one of those guys. And yes, I did want James Pierce Jr., but what do I know?
Yeah, I was a big James Pierce Jr. guy, too.
Every time I want an edge rusher, John, we don't draft an edge rusher. Nick Bonino. What they end up doing?
Dude, we were together in Vegas.
We drafted Drake Jackson over
I wanted Nick. Drake Jackson, and you wanted Nick Bonino. Shows what I know. Shows what I know. Now Nick Bonino is, like, best in the business. Dale says, I don't think I could do this. Going to start needing these shows to go 2 hours. I struggle. At the end of a show, like, I'm like, power down. Wayne's crazy. He go live. Dude, this dude.
Nah, man, I can't do the 2 hour shows. My head started hurting. But hour 30, I could probably stretch it to an hour 30. But we got the whole crew on, like, because everybody can talk. So it makes it a lot easier. But
see, this is my whole crew. It's just I only do shows with one other person. Right. Like, that's it. Yeah, I'm chill, man. I like solo shows or just one person to have a conversation.
You hit it because you can hit it and quit it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just it's all about the bang.
Whenever
bang.
I'm on with like three people and somebody asks me to be a guest on a show, and I'm just like, yeah, I think this, and this. And then I just sit there for like 5 minutes, and I'm like, dude, I just stare at the camera.
That's not me. I start doing other stuff. And then when it comes to me, I forgot. Like, huh? What'd you say? Say it again? You know what I'm saying? Listen, my attention span is worse than a fifth grader. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, you're the freaking man. Wayne, I'm very thankful for you.
We're going to win on Sunday, though.
Let's go. Walk us out of the show, my friend.
Yo, we winning on Sunday. I ain't even getting amped because I already know the outcome. I know the blueprint. And what I know, Kyle Shanahan's playing chess. It's going to come down to players executing. And I think this is a game where Brock Purdy going to put everybody's money where their mouth is once again. Like, he does it every time. Every time Brock has a bad game, he comes out and has a good game. Have we ever, are we not talking about that? Like, how are we not talking about that? Faithful, strap on, pause. It's about to go down. Sunday's going to be official. John, you're on with me on Friday. F the game plan, we just going to rant for a whole 60 minutes. Whole 60 minutes. Just rant. I don't care. We going to talk about how bad we going to beat the motherfucking Eagles. Because I'm tired. I'm tired of that. I'm tired. All you get is, the Eagles this. Oh, they favor this. Yeah, man. You know whose favor the Eagles don't got? God's favor. We out.